a great occasion which took place here on Thursday. Okay, the sunshine and maybe the focus in New York might well have been on Pope Francis. But if you went up the road a little bit, you would indeed, as we did, we witnessed something which was, again, we remember for a lifetime, and that was the conferring of a Doctor of Humane Letters upon our Taoiseach, Prime Minister of Ireland, Enda Kenny. The conferring, the doctors, indeed was one which Quinnipiac University and the history of Quinnipiac University, John Leahy, who was president, and the founder of the Great Irish Hunger Museum in Hamden, Connecticut, was indeed, had waited for some time, for the right time, to confer the doctorate on Enda Kenny. It was a great occasion, but lest it it gets lost in the midst of this amazing week in the United States, I want to go to Quinnipiac University. I want to go to President John Leahy and welcome you to the program. How are you, John?
Thank you, Adrian. No, it's great to be here.
Let's just talk, if we will, and maybe you can address, you know, some of the areas and issues that indeed brought the conferring of the Doctor of Humane Letters to Enda Kenny in the first place.
Oh, yes. The our Board of Trustees is well aware of the leadership that he's provided over the past 5 years in Ireland, taking them from the depths of almost economic disaster to now, I think he said the second year, they'll be the fastest growing economy in the European Union. So his leadership there is tremendous. And then in addition, though, he's been well aware of the work we've done at Museum on Gotamore, our Ireland Great Hunger Museum at Quinnipiac University in Hamden, Connecticut. And so I know how supportive he has been. Members of his government have visited in the past, and he very much wanted to come and see the museum firsthand. So it was really a combination of his great leadership in Ireland that we wanted to recognize, and indeed on a world stage leadership. But we particularly wanted to have him at the museum, not only for us to recognize him as the leader of Ireland, but someone who's from, as you are, Adrian, from Mayo, which was devastated by the Great Hunger. And I must say, it was a very, as I gave him a tour of the museum before the conferral of the honorary degree ceremony and his remarks, I could tell how moved he was by and how personally he reacted to the artwork. He particularly, the one painting that he wanted to, or the piece of artwork that he wanted his picture taken with me was a maybe not surprisingly, was John Behan's famine ship, which, of course, we have a miniature version of, and the real size is, of course, in Kirkpatrick in County Mayo. So I know he related to it in a very personal way, and we were delighted. And I must say, his remarks were really powerful and eloquent, and they're just... they keep repeating in my own mind, you know, when we gave him the degree, his initial remarks were that he accepted it proudly in memory of the million plus men, women, and children who lost their lives in the Great Hunger. He said, I accept it on behalf of the million more who sought refuge and made a new home in the United States and elsewhere. And he said, I accept it on behalf of the million were packed onto coffin ships. And I accept it on behalf of the thousands and thousands of Irish people who set sail across the Atlantic in search of a new life, only to meet an early death and a committal to the ocean. I mean, those are pretty powerful, powerful words coming from the leader of Ireland, talking about the Great Hunger and doing it, you know, at the home of Quinnipiac University and our museum on Gunnamore. So it was a great visit. He couldn't have been more gracious and more eloquent in his remarks.
I think also President John Leahy that his reference to he had just, by the way, come directly from Brussels, and indeed the European Union immigrant crisis was very much on his mind. He gets got off at JFK and came directly to Quinnipiac University. His remarks about being particularly, that the Irish are particularly attuned to the migrant crisis in Europe at the time, that was very striking in the sense that maybe we didn't, many of us didn't get to analyze the parallels. I think in his saying, we know all about fleeing, and I'm paraphrasing, and fleeing from oppression and starvation and hunger, and that the immediacy that the Ireland's Great Hunger created in the first place.
No, you're absolutely right, Adrian, and that was the other wonderful thing he did in his remarks. He really took the experience of the Great Hunger and the experience that the Irish have had and tied it very much to the present day refugee crisis. And again, his words were very powerful. He mentioned, he said, in our generational memory, we know what it's like to be forced to leave everything and to start anew with new people in a new place. And he said, we know what it's like not only to seek refuge, but to long for a kind look, a kind word of recognition of our dignity and shared humanity. I mean, those are really, again, eloquent and powerful, powerful words. But you're absolutely right. He took the Great Hunger and the universal message. You know, it's not, the Irish are not the only people who suffer at the hands of oppressors and had this terrible tragedy in their history. But it's important, obviously, on the Great Hunger, since that story was really mistold for the better part of 150 years to educate people about the true consequences of the Great Hunger. But the universality of that message that he so powerfully brought to the audience at Quinnipiac on Thursday, tying it right into the president, it's why the Irish, as he said, have stepped up, and he mentioned that a naval ship from Ireland was sent to the Mediterranean to help save lives for those suffering and drowning literally in the Mediterranean. So you're absolutely right. It was, and I mentioned that to him afterwards, that in many ways he's among world leaders, perhaps best to be able to express to the world that, you know, turning away, as some countries in the European Union are, from refugees in crisis and not extending a kind hand of help and support, we're looking at 150 years ago, that was we. Those were our grandparents, great-grandparents who fled the Great Hunger, weren't given help during the Great Hunger, and then frankly weren't given a particularly welcoming hand in various parts of the world that they left to. So, I was just so impressed. You know, I've met him before and in Ireland, but I've never heard him speak more, and he's a great speaker, but I've never heard him speak more eloquently or more powerful, both about the Great Hunger and the refugee crisis that's going on today.
And I think it was also striking, as indeed is is his custom. He has his notes are carefully placed on the podium, and then he doesn't turn the page. That's kind of a male thing, I have to say myself. But he pointed out, though, and I think one and his primary reason for being so happy with the honor is that basically he gave, you know, you credit, bringing us back to the 150th anniversary of Black 47, the pinnacle or the high point of the Great Hunger in Ireland. And if we go back to 1997, you're designating as Grand Marshal of the St. Patrick's Day Parade in New York, designating the theme as that of the Great Hunger, that was, considered to be somewhat of a shock to the Irish in Ireland and here, because we were ashamed, we were very reluctant to talk about the famine. Survivor guilt, all of the things, 150 years, relatively short period of time, and yet, despite all of the Irish issues and the Irish involvement in building this country, the famine, as it was known, it was just glossed over. Can you bring us back to 1997 and your determination at that point, because God knows you wouldn't get much encouragement for it, your determination to take that theme and take it to where it is today?
Thank you for reminding me. You're absolutely right, Adrian. It was a bit controversial, and I was actually, some parade officials during that time tried to discourage me from talking about the Great Hunger. And I felt it was very important, in particular, Kristen Keneally, who I really give credit to. I read her book, This Great Calamity, in 1996, just the year before. And that was sort of my intellectual awakening about the Great Hunger. Like so many Irish Catholic kids who grew up in New York in Irish neighborhoods, in the Bronx, my parents rarely talked about it. It was just this sort of dark period in Irish history. I knew it was the reason my grandfather, as a kid, left with his great-grandfather, left Ireland in the 1870s after the famine. And I just, all I knew was that there was a crop failure and a lot of people died and many more emigrated and left. And that's why we were here in our little Irish Catholic neighborhood in the Bronx. But when I read Christine's book, it was really my awakening that, yes, the potato crop failed, but there was more than adequate food in Ireland, produced in Ireland. There was, in fact, the shipments of food out of Ireland actually increased during the years of the Great Hunger.
Again, let me just also take this opportunity to say what was exciting to him, and indeed, he was very grateful for the plans going forward to take your collection, Ireland's Great Hunger Museum collection, to take it to Ireland, to bring it back to Ireland, since that is something that really adds a new layer to the story of immigration. If I can revert to saying, those of us who grew up in Ireland were, it was in hushed tones that we heard of the famine. It was almost like it was somewhat of a scandal that, you shouldn't let the kids hear. You're taking the collection, most of the collection, the largest collection, of arts and artifacts to Ireland, is something that was very impressive to him.
Oh, that's great. Well, We're very excited about it, and we are working. Our curator, Neve O'Sullivan, who lives in Dublin, and I visited with her just this past June. We already secured two sites. The collection will be in Dublin Castle, appropriately for 2 months, and then we'll have it for 2 months in the West Cork Art Center, the new center there in Skibbereen, which, of course, suffered greatly during the Great Hunger. And then we haven't finalized the place, but we're also planning on bringing the collection for 2 months to Northern Ireland and either in Belfast or Omagh, I think, are the two places they're looking at. So right. I'm very excited about it, and I think the collection going there, I'm really excited to see what the reaction is in both the Republic of Ireland and in Northern Ireland to the exhibit. And we're not only going to have the artwork there, Adrian, for 6 months, but we're also going to be doing some programming and have some academic conferences and discussions. Christine Keneally, who heads up our Great Hunger Institute, which is the academic portion of that complements the museum, she will be over there, and she's in the process of coordinating with different academics and others there. So we'll have a number of conferences on the Great Hunger and art and the Great Hunger. But going back also to your comment about not talking about it in front of the children, you know, even when I grew up in the Bronx in an Irish neighborhood, it was pretty much the same thing, that our parents really didn't talk about it very much. But I do think the reason why this museum is in Connecticut today, between the two great cities that the Irish built, Boston and New York, and why it's not in Ireland, is that, again, I think Irish Americans in particular, we didn't talk about it for probably the better part of 100-plus years, it was a little easier, I think, for us to look back on the Great Hunger and the pain and suffering, and because we had sort of the balance of the positive experience that we had in America and the success that we had in many cases. Whereas the Irish in Ireland really, for 150 years, were really held back by the consequences of the Great Hunger. As again, the Taoiseach talked about it in economic terms, in psychological terms, and even spiritual terms. And of course, the Irish in Ireland lost the great leaders and talented people who had to leave Ireland to really become successful. So for them, the Great Hunger had a very, very long shadow that really, I think, frankly, the country has just come out from literally in the past 25 years. So that's why the timing couldn't be better. I think Ireland now is under the leadership of Enda Kenny and others. I think the level of confidence and pride and their abilities to move forward, I think, is there. And so I think we're all in a better position to look back on that period and make sure that at least the story is told accurately and historically, and that in the hopes that we can, as the Taoiseach did this past Thursday, communicate the universality of man's inhumanity to man, and right up to the very present, where Ireland is taking a great leadership role under the Taoiseach with respect to the refugee crisis today.
One other item that he brought very early in his remarks was the reference to Christine Keneally's books, what she said, several. But if we go back 2 years to where you and Christine Keneally and course, Lynn Bushnell and myself were sitting with Taoiseach, he hadn't actually written that book, or he hadn't read it, but what he did say was, I'm going to read it because he says, I've read so much and I know that this one will be maybe take some of the kinks out of it, as he said himself. What was impressive was that on that tour, within 24 hours, well, maybe a little longer than that, but during that trip, Andy Kenny had gotten back to you in particular to say this is the best, this is something that cuts through the chaff and really spells it out the way it is. And he says, I know that you, I'm not surprised that you would react to this, and thank you actually for the work that you had done again with the museum in particular. And at that point you had pretty much decided that in addition to Ireland's Great Hunger Museum in Hamden, that the institute, which again you founded there, headed by Christine Keneally, was something that was that rounded out what is now, a specific, very specific, exclusive reflection on Ireland's Great Hunger. I think that was significant as well.
Yeah, no, I think, and particularly at a university, to have something really be grounded and be part of a university's mission for the long term, you really need to have the faculty academic component in it. So, and that's why the hiring of, I was so happy to be able to finally recruit her away from, she was at Drew University in New Jersey, tenured professor there. So it took me a few years, but thankfully I was able to successfully recruit her to Quinnipiac University to start an Irish Studies program that I might add where doing in conjunction with the National University of Ireland at Maynooth. And we have a long-standing relationship with National University of Ireland Cork, where many of our students, actually almost 200 students every spring, study in Cork. But the academic component is important, so that it's really, I'm confident that that the university's commitment now, anchored in the Great Hunger Institute with a professor of Irish Studies of the stature of Christine Keneally, will really allow the education process to be successful. I mean, even with the mission of the museum itself, while it's art and a celebration of some of the great art produced by Ireland over the centuries, it's ultimately an education mission to educate people about the Great Hunger. I must say, personally, I think art does it even more powerfully than words. Even reading the words in a book as well written as Christine Keneally's This Great Calamity, this tragedy, there's no better medium or vehicle to communicate the pain and suffering than art. And that's why, I am so pleased with how the museum has developed. But you're absolutely right. In combination now with the Institute, will be even more successful in the years forward. Just to go back to one other thought about the Taoiseach's remarks, and again, I can't say enough how eloquent and powerful he coined an expression I had not heard before, and I don't know if it's unique or where he got it, but it again sticks in my mind. He referred to the Great Hunger. He said the great wrong of the Great Hunger. It's the first time I've heard that expression used, and it's one that I'm going to use in the future and then always give the Taoiseach credit for. At least that's the first time I had heard that expression.
Again, in terms of his predecessors and those who in Ireland, there were certain key words that were not mentioned. Blaming the neighbor, the wrong, all of that again was particularly sensitive, considering having the strain on one hand of dealing with the North, of dealing with Britain, it was by some considered to be red rag to the bull. Why not just keep it, sweep it under the rug for now? There'll be another time. And I think that was that is something that is unique to him as well, in terms of, yeah, that's not mixed the apples and oranges, so to speak.
Yeah, no, he couldn't. It was, again, a great speech, and I could tell he, and I've heard from many people at Quinnipiac, they were just so impressed with, at the human level, how, as you said, his staff person asked me to put his speech on the podium, which I did, and you're right, he opened up the folder, and he never moved the pages, but how, you know, sincere and humble and genuine. You could tell he was speaking from the heart in his remarks. He wasn't just reading a text that some staff person right. had prepared for him. And as you said, I couldn't thank him enough. You know, he flew from Brussels 1:30 in the morning back to Dublin, had 2 hours sleep, had to get up and fly directly across the Atlantic and then be picked up at Kennedy and driven up to Quinnipiac. He had to be exhausted. He said he didn't sleep much on the plane. But just at a human level, and he took pictures and talked with students and faculty. And, you know, he stayed with us for 2.5 hours. He arrived almost exactly to the minute, I should also say. He was scheduled to arrive at 1:30, and that's, I think he was early by a minute or two. And then stayed all the way up until 4 o'clock and then had other appointments after that. So, he made a huge impression on the entire Quinnipiac University community and the Raven Register had a beautiful front page picture. Almost the entire, front page was taken up with, his picture there being hooded with the, honorary Dr. Humane Letters degree we gave him.
Absolutely. It was a great event. And considering that, you know, the teacher was here, it wasn't like he happened to be in the neighborhood. He was here, and he was very very much involved, you know, with the papal visit and with, you know, he had a lot on his plate. Half in fun, but most in earnest on his way out the door, he says, well, this is the pinnacle anyway, whatever happens, this, with the smile, and I think that pretty much wrapped it up. You know?
No, that's great. Well, thank you also, Adrian. You know, you had an awful lot to do with helping to bring him here to Quinnipiac, and you're right, I did meet with him in Dublin, and you... helped to arrange that as well. So I thank you for the support you've given Quinnipiac University and Lynn Bushnell and myself and others in our efforts in connection with Museum on Gartamore and our work to educate people about the Great Hunger.
Thank you, President John Leahy. And we will, you know, we'll remember this for, you know, for a long time, and I know that so will the teacher. Thank you for taking the time with us this morning. Thanks, John.
Thank you, AJ. It's great to be with you.
Thank you. And friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA. Now, let me tell you, we had a bit of Murphy's Law there. And if anything can go wrong, no, it will. And it did. However, it was great to have John on there to John Leahy, President John Leahy, to again share what has been a tremendous event in our area this week, and one which holds its own, indeed, with the great week that we've had anyway, the week of such positive reaction to Pope Francis' visit to New York. And we'll be addressing that later in our program. But first of all, friends, I again want to welcome you